I've already gone through house rules. I'd like us to stand in a circle if possible. I don't like it when people have their backs to everyone else. I don't think it's very community orientated, and the shortcut is a community, so we want to start to feel like that. I'd like it so everyone can see everyone. If you're standing too far forward, you're blocking two people off. So try and do your best to get in a circle. That's it. How are you feeling after that? Warm. Yeah, it's warm in here. It shows on me because I'm a redhead. When I had hair, that was. Okay, so we've gone through the basics. The first thing we do when we're born is to breathe. The first action we take as a human being in this world is to inhale the vital nutrients from the environment. The last thing we do before we die, the very final action we actually make happen, is to let go of air. It drops out of us one final time. Globally, in 2019, the average human lifespan is 80 years. We breathe around 16 times per minute. That's 960 times in an hour, 23,000 times a day. That's 8.5 million times in a year. And if we do live to the ripe old age of 80, we would have circulated about 7 billion breaths. Breath is fundamental to life. It's also fundamental to the quality of life that we lead, the way we engage with ourselves, the way we engage with the world around us. If you think that we can survive as humans for around 3 weeks without food, about 3 days without water, but we can't go for more than 3 minutes without breathing before we perish. It's the most immediate and vital nutrient we need. So we need to start doing it properly, because what happens when we start breathing better, we're able to concentrate more. There's more longevity in our lives. We have better opportunities for our body to function the way it's meant to, at its optimum. No matter what you do, no matter where you come from, if you can learn to breathe properly, you can do everything in your life better, including writing CVs. Trust me. Your CV will be better after this class than it was after learning, but that should go there, that should go there. Because every boss is going to read them differently and want something different anyway. There's no right or wrong way to that. But breathing, if you do it wrong, you can really hinder the quality of your life. It's fundamental. So what we're going to do, we're going to start with a breathing exercise. This one you can take away and use for the rest of your lives. All right? And actually, if you do, you might get a bit past 80. It's great, isn't it? All right. Look at that. I'm giving you life. Fantastic. Yeah, it's all right. Who would have thought, eh? I've been looking for you for a long time. So, as we're standing, I'm going to introduce you to a stance, which is just a good way of finding neutral, I call it. And the reason we're going to do this is because it's an exercise. I don't expect you to stand like this all the time. But if you can have your feet facing parallel forward, so they're under your hips or thereabouts. So not too wide, not too close together, but somewhere you'll feel if they're too wide apart. Try not to stick them out. But everyone's different. Everyone's got a different body, so you might have to. If you did ballet as a younger person, you might be stuck like that. Then what we're going to do is tuck our pelvis under a little bit. Not too much. We don't want to stick it forward, but we don't want to poke it out either. Try and have it so the pelvis seems to be sitting directly above the heel. Then, guys especially, relax your belly. I know, I want to believe I've got a six-pack under there too. It's not there. Now we're going to imagine that we have a piece of string here on our sternum, this part of our chest, this bone that kind of connects the ribs at the top in the center. Imagine there's a string there pulling up. When I say imagine, I don't mean actually physically do it. Just keep that awareness. Because what happens is that actually lets your shoulders roll back and down. If you can imagine the same, a piece of string on top of your head, dangling you from the ceiling, and then slightly lean forward so the weight is even across your feet. You can feel it in the toes and heel and at the sides. This Slightly bend your knees too. Don't lock your knees because that will push your bum out. So in this position, you look very military. I'm not sure if that was what I was going for. However, this is a really good neutral stance because it tells the least amount of story about you. So wherever you go into a room, for example, here's a story. Even though you're doing it, it says something, doesn't it? If you're going to a job interview or giving a pitch to an investor and you walk in there like that, what do you think it says? No, there's nothing wrong with that. If you stand like that and you feel comfortable, but even just leaning onto one leg has a massive impact on our subconscious minds. And people will unknowingly judge you subconsciously. So if we can remember this little neutral stance, if ever you're going into an environment where you are a bit unsure about who you're going to deal with, just to neutralize the story you're telling, you can adopt this stance and you'll have a lot more opportunity, more leeway in how they perceive you. Because we do, we all do it as well. It's horrible, but the way of life. So the breathing exercise, if you can imagine that on the inside of your torso, between your neck down here, there's a balloon, okay? So this balloon, as you should understand, they expand in all directions, okay? Not just one way. There's a point at the base of your back which is the first point that grows in your body, in the womb. It's called the sacrum. It's just above your coccyx, your tailbone. If, when you breathe in, you imagine that the air hits that spot first and then expands down and out and back like a balloon in all directions, you'll find that your shoulders probably won't move because you've filled up the bottom of your lungs. Many singing teachers and people who don't really know what they're talking about often tell you to breathe into your belly. But unfortunately, what that does is actually it changes your posture into a bad position, and it doesn't let you take in the air you need. Opera singers will tell different. Breathe into your back. And it's the ribs that do a lot of the work there. So here's what we do. As you breathe in, imagine the air hits that point first and expands the balloon. But as you breathe out, the balloon expands further because we're using our imaginations. It's not actually happening. Breathe in, balloon expands. Breathe out, balloon expands further. As an exercise, if you do this before you go to bed, 5 minutes before you go to bed, you should sleep better. If you do it 5 minutes after waking up, for 5 minutes, you should have a lot more energy throughout the day. And if you did this every day, a few times through the day, eventually your body's going to remember it and you will no longer have to worry about being conscious, as I promised we wouldn't be, sorry. Because your body will learn it. And it is a very good way to learn how to breathe deeply and properly and open up parts of the lungs which may or may not have been utilized properly by your body before. And especially if you're someone who works at computers, especially if you work in an office and you do a lot of sitting down, learning to breathe properly is something you can do on your lunch break, on the way home, even as you're sitting. It's going to help you. It's going to help with your concentration, your energy levels, and how you feel about yourself, ultimately. So that you can take away. Do it whenever you feel like. If at any point you lack energy today, or if at any point you feel you forget something, or you're just not with it, you're not with us in the room, drop down, do this exercise. But also I'd like to mention that if ever you're in a situation where you feel nervous, fearful about maybe going into a new environment, maybe it's a job interview, maybe it is going to pitch for teammates, maybe it's going to pitch for investors, whatever it is you're doing. If you do this breathing exercise beforehand or any point during that you feel uncomfortable, you'll feel better. Like that. I promise you. If not, you can email me and say, "Don't work." So I'll give you my email at the end. Well, the thing is, kids. Well, kid, how old is the kid? Do I need?
Five.
Right. Okay. Mine's two. I haven't quite got there yet. However, kids don't restrict themselves. Kids naturally breathe properly because they don't have blocks. They haven't learnt tensions. After the age of eight, when they've done their kind of formative training, you know, once their brainwave activity starts speeding up to the same as the rest of us, they've pretty much set patterns from the models they've learnt around life. So they may adopt bad habits if they see people around them that they look up to and that have given them nurture not doing it right. They will learn that and they will take it on board, even if not necessarily immediately, because they'll be surrounded by school as well. And quite often, especially in Finland, I guess, there's a lot of emphasis on sports for children, which is great because it gets them out of their mind and into their bodies, so they don't think about breathing, it just happens. But yeah, it's true, they can learn that. We did. We all learned how to put blocks on ourselves and how to not do things and make ourselves do things, and that's not necessarily a help, which is why I didn't want any digital screens here today. So, I'd like to first use this, now we kind of had a warm-up, and I've given you a breathing technique which can help you with your presence. That means being present. Actually being in the room, as some people aren't, but it's funny. No, it's funny, I'm just copying body language. So, I'd like to do one on concentration, and I've got these things here, which are called Petroni balls. Now, there's a woman called something Petroni, and that's not a real name. And she, I guess she invented these, but essentially they're just soft balls, so she's made a killing, basically. It was a great startup. And these are things that are quite soft, and you'd lay on them in different ways on the ground and breathe, and they kind of open up parts of your body to relax you. But you have to know how to use them properly. Today, we're going to use them for this, passing along. So we're going to first go round the entire circle, pass it to anyone you want, until everyone... Now, be aware who's had the ball and who hasn't, okay? This is why it's important... There's a lot of us in here, but be aware, and mind the camera. what we're going to do now is going to move around the room. Just walk in any space you can. Mix it up. We're not going to go back into a circle, just keep moving. That's it, look at that. And now remember the energy from the opening movement exercise we did. How did that make you feel? So now we're going to do the same exercise again. Only we're mixing it up. And we're going to keep moving as we do it. Just be careful of the cameras. There's more space over here. We can move over here. If we need to, we can walk around the chairs. All you have to remember is the person who threw you the ball and who you're throwing it to. That's easy, right? Have you got any questions about what we just did and how it's relevant?
Yeah.
Let's go back into a circle, sorry.
I understand this is like to make the connection and training the focus. So my question is, does I understand right?
Here's the thing. It's not about being right.
Okay.
Okay? It's not about getting it right. It's about being here now in the present moment. Why are you guys doing the Catalyst program? Let's spread out. There's some people being blocked off. Why are you all here? What's the purpose of you doing this Catalyst program at the Shortcut? Anyone want to tell me?
I'm looking for something new in my life, and I want to connect my my life with IT, because all my friends are developers.
Okay.
I lost the last one, I think.
So you want to get into IT because all your friends are?
Yep, and because I like drawing, and it's a new experience for me.
Okay, so graphic design maybe?
Yes.
Okay, and you specifically computer-aided design?
Yeah, graphic design.
Yeah, but with computers, not old school.
We'll see how it will go.
Okay, great. And so what's the Catalyst going to give you?
It's the second day I'm here, I don't know, but I hear a lot of new people, new names, and it's too interesting. So our studying or co-working is in the first time with me, like that. So it's absolutely an experience
mm-hmm.
for me.
Yeah, where are you from?
I'm from Ukraine.
Okay. You were here from the start, right? You did the movement exercise. Now, do we mind if we quickly talk about you? But it's better that we all do it and you agree than not, because I don't want anyone to talk about people behind their backs. That's not very fair, is it? He's looking to be a graphic designer. Or thereabouts. Is anyone else in the same field? Yes? And do you currently work as a graphic designer, or is it something you're trying to get into? Okay. Okay. No, but would you like to? Is that why the catalyst is the thing for you, to help maybe offer some ideas? Okay, so it doesn't matter where you're from, what job you're going into. If you want to get the job in the first place, who you bring into that interview, or who you bring into that team meeting, or who you bring as who the person you present, the person you offer.
Someone you know at the same of it, that you already know.
No, that's not what I was going to say, actually. The point I'm trying to make is that if you can't be comfortable in your own skin, don't expect anybody else to feel comfortable in your presence. If you can't listen to the person who's speaking and asking you questions about your career, about if you want to work for them or not, don't expect them to give you a job. It's not about your skills. It's not about your talent. It's about you, and you are everything that you bring into the room. Practicing active listening is a skill. It's not always that easy to begin with, but it's fundamental. I was in a job once where I had to listen with every part of my being. And if I didn't, someone could die. So, the urgency, if you can bring that kind of urgency into every area of searching for a job, of being in an interview, or even being in a group, because you never know who in here runs a graphic design company is actually looking for talent. And who do you think is going to stand out to them? Someone who just does graphic design and wants to get into it? Or someone who has a passion and shows a keen interest in other people? Because team work and team players are really kind of valued in all walks of life, in all types of work. So concentration and presence. Now, that breathing exercise we started with, I'm sorry, we'll go through it again because you missed it. And that neutral position unlocks some of your storytelling abilities, and it helps you to choose your attitude, because you can pick how you are. Now, I was trained as an actor, so that's easy for me to say, right? But good actors don't act. That's the point. They bring the truth. Shit actors, you can see they're acting. So what I'd like to do next is do another little concentration game. This is less physical. If you all close your eyes. Okay. You don't have to worry about getting this right. But there's a few things I'd like you to do. One is try to adopt that breathing technique we started with, which is basically nice and relaxed. Imagine there's a balloon on the inside of your torso and it's expanding in all directions. Okay? That's how we're going now. And phones off if possible. If you need to take it, go outside, please. Okay, cool. How many people are in the room? On the count of three, you're going to shout it out. Three, one, two, three.
35.
Okay. On the count of three, you're going to say the name of the person you threw the ball to. One, two, three. Okay. Now, if you're really listening, on the count of three, you're going to shout the name of the person who threw you the ball. One, two, three. Very good. See, you may have got that completely wrong, but you made some noise. How many windows are in this room? It's not important. It's not about getting it right again. We're going to do something, a grounding exercise, because it's very easy for us to get into our heads and into our conscious minds, even still. We've done some physical warm-ups, we've done some concentration presence exercises, but I think I want to give you something a little bit more solid with the use of gravity. Is everyone okay laying on their back? Would you be okay with that? If we found a space, I'll show you what I'd like you to do. This is a position called semi-supine. So you lay on your back, with your hands resting on your belly, And we're going to practice that breathing exercise there. Would you be okay with that? Okay, find a spot. Nice and comfy. Yeah. You get the ensuite. Yeah. The ensuite stuff there, sir. So I don't think you can get any more grounded than actually being on the ground. And the reason I always bang on about the importance of getting out of our heads and into our bodies is because our heads can trick us. Put your knees up so your feet are on the ground. If you want to, unless it's uncomfortable. So bring your knees up. There you go. So they're flat on the ground. There should be just enough tension in your body to keep your knees up. Breathe with this exercise. Breathe in that balloon and imagine expanding. Every time you breathe in, the balloon gets bigger. Every time you breathe out, the balloon expands further. It doesn't matter if your eyes are open or closed. But I want you to notice something. Notice how gravity is pulling you onto the floor. It's holding you there. Now, this could be overwhelming for some people, but quite a secure feeling to others. You can't really change this. You can't really defy gravity. But keep breathing and just notice in your body how it feels. If your conscious mind is to do anything right now, you could play with the idea of feeling heavier. But you could also play with the idea of feeling lighter, like gravity is not really holding you down. This is just your perceptions. Because I'm a huge believer in the power of perception. And even though we can't physically change how much this gravity is holding us where we are, we can change our perception of it and allow ourselves to feel lighter. And quite often, when we're in our heads all day, thinking, trying to be right, trying to make the right decisions, being conscious, we forget that our bodies and our subconscious mind is a million times more powerful than our conscious mind at running our lives. Everything you've ever experienced in your whole life and will experience is recorded somewhere in your body. People call it the subconscious mind, but it could be easily transferred as the body. It stores emotions, it stores memory. And so if we are able to get the conscious mind out of the way, we can notice how we are actually feeling. We can remember things that we may have forgotten. Take a couple more breaths now. Okay, so you don't have to get up, but open your eyes. And using this idea of gravity and the weight of gravity, you can actually slide your legs flat down now. There's a famous theatre practitioner from France called Jacques Lecoq. And he worked with an idea called the seven levels of tension. I'll tell you later why this is important. But for now, we're going to try them out. We're going to try and embody them and feel them. So the first level of tension is no tension at all. Our bodies are completely limp, like a jellyfish, or just jelly. So if you can try that for me now, physically, just let everything go. Don't just let gravity take over. It's in charge. Just allow it to do its thing. Completely relax. No effort required for this at all. You're like a dead person. You're just laying there flat. Gravity has you. This, according to Jacques Lecoq, is the first level of tension. All right? If we have seven levels of tension and the seventh is every single part of your body fully tensed, where could you imagine two to be? This is one. It's completely limp. Try and experiment with the idea of a level two. So this would be possibly enough energy in your body to start moving. Possibly enough. Of course, you're still very heavy. There's not much muscular tension happening. But if you can try from this place as efficiently as possible, like it's difficult, to try and roll onto your side. Try it. Using as little tension as possible. Just roll onto your side. Yet remember, if there's seven levels of tension in your body, and number one was what we just experienced, this is number two. So really, everything is going to be very difficult to do. See how economically you can get onto your feet using this level of tension. So barely anything. See if you can do it. Just try. Try and get up. But that's quite a lot of tension to do that. So go onto your side. Really economic. Remember, gravity has you. Roll onto your side first. We don't want any bad backs. That's all right. Don't worry. We're learning. And let's go to 2.5. On the way to 3, and we want to get to our feet. Now, if you think of a Californian surfer dude, right? Think about how they, you know, just move with it, walk around, hey. Just, you know that, or drunk person, they've got enough tension to stand up, but not enough to really do anything. Nice and easy. Just try walking around without any effort. Just let your shoulders hang. Let your head, just enough to hold your head up. That's fine. We were embodying this because we want to feel what it's like, because we can use this to our advantage. Move around. It's like zombies, yeah? If ever you get cast in a zombie film, remember me. All right, so let's move up into 3. So this is a little bit more neutral. But it's still, the pace is very low in energy. This, somewhere between 3 and 4 is how we are in normal life, or how we should be. So maybe add a little bit more tension now. We're going into towards 4. Remember, we started at 0, or at 1, and we're going to 7. So if we're moving into 4 now, how much tension is in our bodies? How much urgency is there? How much air do we need? How fast do we move? Remember, there's no right or wrong answers to this. You just feel it. This makes people very uncomfortable. Feeling. Feelings. Okay, let's ramp it up a little bit now. Now, number 5, they often called, is there a bomb in the room? That level of curiosity. Is there? It's a question. It's like a child has had too much sugar. It's like a little bit scatty, a little bit static. Worry. You know, you're late for something, you want to start moving a bit faster. There's more tension in your body. There's less economy and you're actually trying to get somewhere. It's more frantic. Feel it. Feel how it changes the room, changes the energy in you, changes your breath, changes the energy in the air. Okay? Remember, if I asked you a question, guys, is there a bomb in the room? You'd be like, what? I don't know. Well, that's a good question. I'd like to find out. How about a level of tension number 6? I tell you, there is a bomb in the room. Oh, dear. Okay, right. So you'd want to kind of move around and get out of the way, and you'd search places, and you'd try and see around what's going under the chairs. You'd be checking my bag first, I'm sure. Okay, now, we're going to, in a second, let's stop for a sec. We're going to go to level 7. Now, this is, we can't do for very long because it's dangerous. This is what we call the bomb goes off. And so for this, we're going to tense every single muscle in our body at the same time. Okay, we're going to do it for 1 second just to see what it feels like. That means your toes, your knees, your legs, your arms, your belly, your neck, your head, your eyes, everything. Every single muscle you can think of, you feel in your body. On the count of 3, and then by the count of 4, you stop. Yeah? You with me? Okay, let's go. 1, 2, 3, draw. We'll do it one more time. But do it, I won't count 4. You just do it and try and notice how it makes you feel. 1, 2, 3. All right, let's get back in a circle. By the way, if anyone wants to get some water or anything, please just, or use the toilet, don't ask me, just go. Don't be polite. Okay, so now I'm going to ask you a question, which is one of my favourite questions to ask people. How do you feel?
Energized.
You feel energised? That's probably because you've been moving your body. You know, you've been doing different things physically, and that often energises you. Like yoga and Pilates and Qigong and Tai Chi, all these things, they, you know, they move energy. How did it feel to be completely limp and in level 1? How did it feel?
It was
relaxed, yeah. Did it give you an emotion? Did it make you, does anything pop into your head? Any memories or anything? Don't? You wanted to be home?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting, yeah. Well, you do probably every night when you go to sleep, if you sleep at night. How about the kind of really hardly anything in your body?
That's
but
the boy.
Enough. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we could actually go through the day. Levels of tension. 3 is how they often say is the most present you can be. Because the economy of energy, you don't waste anything. You move at the pace. That's just enough to get by. You speak at the volume. You breathe enough. Everything you do at, say, level 3 is helps you to concentrate because there's nothing stopping, there's nothing blocking you from thinking. It's not blocking energy. Level 4 is a little the same but more alert. A lot of people in this day and age are somewhere in 5. They're walking around with a bit of tension in their bodies. Quite often that tension goes on for such a long period of time that they have to go and see the doctor, who then quickly says they're depressed and gives them pills, which is not exactly helpful, I don't think. It happens here in Finland. Very much in the US and the UK too, at least I know that. Not everywhere. Other countries are more progressive, but it is a fact that tension and stress in our bodies held on for too long cause huge health benefits. Deficiencies. Yeah, they're not very good, let me put it that way. But also, here's something. We've gone over the idea of concentration. It's hard to concentrate if you're stressed. It's hard to concentrate if you've got too much tension in your body. The breathing exercise we've done at the beginning can help relax you and help you stay focused and concentrate if you adopt it. Standing in a neutral position so you're able to neutralize the story you're telling outwardly helps. These are just tools. I'm not giving you answers. I'm just giving you options. Should we get back into a circle? There seems to be layers here. How did it feel when we were in the 7th level of tension? How did you feel?
Very stressful. Very like heavy.
We could feel it as it was getting to 5 and 6 and 7. The energy in the room changed. And it was a panic. It's a bit like, I don't know if anyone's ever been on the London Underground at rush hour. It's horrid. It's horrible. It's really stressful. And it's you can't help but get swept away because there's so many people crammed in to a small space and there's no air. I wanted to do that just so you could recognize how it feels in such a short period of time. we can actually see it in other people. You felt it in the room, how it can actually affect you. And if that's just over a few minutes or a few seconds, imagine what that does over a year, 5 years, 10 years, a lifetime. Well, it's a well-known fact that people with stress don't live as long as others. They don't often get the jobs that others get. They don't go as far as others in their careers. Tension doesn't look good either. No one's ever been to a party and come away saying, I met this really cool guy. He was so tense. Yeah, he's aggressive and he's in my face. Oh, yeah, very funny. No one ever says that because it doesn't happen, because people that are relaxed are considered easier to be around. So again, I bring it back to the work environment. If you're going for a job interview, if you're in front of an investor or you're giving a pitch or presentation, it might be an idea to consider what you're carrying with you, the tension in your body. And just to help you with that, if you ever get stressed, the breathing technique will help. But sometimes physically, a lot of people go to the gym. I can hear it in my voice. I've been to the gym yesterday. And without doing my voice work, I can hear tension in my voice. So we're going to do a short exercise, which comes from Jiangzhong, which is a Qigong exercise. And we're going to start by putting our feet together. You can come forward a bit. You can have your hands just above your knees, not on your knees, not resting, not leaning, just so they're there. Using your breath exercise, which we did at the beginning, imagining the balloon getting bigger on the in-breath and expanding further on the out-breath, we're just going to make some small circles. The person who taught me this was actually taught by a man who had initially been a prize fighter. And he had his eye gouged out. And years later, he realized that his career as a prize fighter was over. And so he turned to Qigong as a way to keep himself occupied and stay fit. Now, he ended up living in London, Soho, for 20 years. And he taught the guy that taught me voice. And this is one of the first things he ever did with me. What we're doing is just creating space in our bodies. We're just moving one direction. We haven't changed yet. Sorry, I should have mentioned that. We can go the other way now, if you like. Small circles. Remember, we're not leaning. Don't bend your neck down. Keep your head up. You can bring your shoulders back. Breathe. Is anyone starting to feel hot? Yeah. Because we've created more energy. We're going to do the same in a second. How are you feeling?
Going in circles.
Okay, yeah, right, round and round we go. So now we can have our feet again in that neutral position, so somewhere just below our hips. And we're going to just do the same with our hips. Just circle them around, nice and gently, not too far. This is not a stretch. This is just waking areas up. Try and keep the top of your body maybe still and just move the center. This is another one of those exercises that you could do every day just to wake your body up. If you sit at a computer a lot, if you're sitting a lot anyway, this could be a nice little release for you with the breathing. I would usually do this for about 20 minutes, but we haven't got time, so we're going to go the other way. Breathe. We can talk, actually, as we do this. We don't have to. I don't have to fill all the space. Or we could just enjoy the silence.
Feel a little bit awakened.
Weird. Okay, so let's stop there. Keep our feet as they were. Nice, facing forward, just above, under our hips. We're going to bring our arms up. Keep your shoulders back. Remember the sternum. Imagine it's lifting up. Just relax your shoulders. Breathe. Every time you breathe out, you should just let go of your shoulders. No tension here. And be careful you're not too close to someone, because what we're going to do, I'll do it first before you begin, okay? We're going to drop our arms like this when I say go. Not yet. I'm just going to show you, because I want you to see how to do it. I don't want that hands to go up too high, okay? When you throw them back, and they come forward just enough, just below your shoulder height. And every once in a while, you can throw them back again. That's it. We can go now. Keep your knees unlocked, slightly unfolded. Has anyone actually done this before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So are you from China?
From Vietnam.
Vietnam. Okay.
From the master.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There was a doctor that was saying this will make you live to 120. Yeah. Yeah, it's very good for your heart.
Just this.
Yeah. No. This is really.
Very, very good.
Yeah. There you go. Great. I need a testimonial.
Can't smoke, can't drink, doing this.
Yeah. Right. You could, but, you know, also it's difficult to multitask anyway. Yeah. This is a great way to release tension in your neck and shoulders. So if you're someone that does find that you get achy back, achy shoulders and neck, this is another great one to do 20 minutes before you go to bed. Again, it will help you sleep better. But this one's got huge health benefits for your heart, your cardiovascular system. And it's really easy to do, and it's quite fun.
Playing with skiing.
Yep, absolutely. But not competitive skiing. And not ski jumping either. But yeah, it's got that swing, isn't it? There is a variations on this, but this one's good enough. Don't forget to breathe. Keep it going. Has anyone, using their imagination, doing the breath exercise, managed to make it as big as the room? See if you can do that. In your mind, every time you breathe in, the balloon gets bigger. And every time you breathe out, the balloon gets even bigger. See if in your imagination you could fill the room. Can anyone feel any tension in their shoulders? Sometimes if you don't move and you highlight something, you start to notice it more. All right, so let's just bring the arms to a rest. And stay still. How do you feel? How does it actually feel in your body? Is there a buzzy feeling? Yeah. Do you feel alert? It's all right, we didn't do it for very long. Okay, so now, 1 second. I'm going to check my notes. So, how was this today? How was it advertised to you? What did you expect to get from today? It's not over yet. We can still get it. When you read the Catalyst program, I'm sure there was a list of things that you could have gone and done, far more rewarding. What is it you want to get out of this 3-week period? What do you want to get from today? What do you want to get from this workshop? So you don't know what you want? No one. It's the first day. Oh, it started today.
For me.
Okay. But still.
It said came 12:45 and it didn't. Then you were here.
Okay.
That's all I know.
So what? Why are you here? We've got a man who wants to get into graphic design and wants to further his career.
A business.
You are starting a business. Okay. What is it?
I need some user experience experts and I don't know anything about it. So that's why.
Okay.
And I need contacts.
Right.
And I need to breathe better too. So.
It helps. It helps, you know. It does a lot for you to breathe better. It's like if you eat unhealthy, you don't feel so healthy. If you drink lots of alcohol, you have a hangover. If you don't breathe properly, you're not feeding your body with the right nutrients. It's really simple stuff. If you put, you know, diesel in a petrol car, is it going to run as well? But we'll leave the environmental talk for another time. Anyone else who's got a business they're starting? What is it you're doing? Okay, I don't know anything about that.
we're using storytelling through AI.
Right, we're going to do some storytelling. How's that? Because graphic design needs storytelling. If you're running a business, you're going to need to tell some stories. You said storytelling. I think we could do something here. Why don't we do some storytelling? Because we've been very physical today. I'm not going to ask you to speak, don't worry. We're going to tell stories with a body. In fact, we already are. And it wasn't because of what you said that I'm going to do this. If everyone could go to this side of the room, maybe take a seat somewhere on one of these two benches. Can I get five volunteers? Participants. Sorry. Yeah, come. Come. Let's go over to the... we'll call this the island. Anyone else? Two more people want to... We'll take turns. Don't worry. Come on. Yes, Lily. Are people more interested in startups or finding a job?
Finding a job.
Okay, so these are potential employees, and you are potential employers. Okay, so you have the power. They need something from you. What we're going to do? Actually, we need one chair for this. One by one, you're each, not yet, going to walk on in front of employers. You're going to stand there. If you don't want to look at them, you don't have to. You're going to count to five. Then you're going to sit down. Count to five in your head, not allowed. Then you'll stand up again. Count to five. Then you're going to walk off back to the island, and the next person will go. Once the last person's gone, we're going to talk about it. That's all I'm saying. That's all you're getting right now. So I'm going to come and be an employer. If you would like to go first. Oh, okay. Thank you. Can we give them a round of applause? Don't sit down just yet, because we are going to talk about you. Why don't you all come and stand up in front of your potential employers? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I can't do it anymore because I can't turn to my right. All right, so can you stand in the order that you came in? I'll take this chair away. Right, we're talking about storytelling, okay? And the story that you bring into the room. There's no right or wrong answers to this. There's only your perception. There's only how you think and feel about it. Don't try and give me an answer that works. Don't try and answer me. I'm not asking you questions. But we're going to talk about what you generally got. What you, your first instinct, your first thought, anything that popped in your head. There's no right or wrong, okay? So, do you mind us talking about you one by one? because it's important, because we're all going to learn about it, from it, about each other. So what was your name?
Raminta.
Raminta. Hey, Raminta. So when Raminta came on, what was your initial thoughts? How did you feel when Raminta entered the room? You're an employer, remember? You're looking to employ someone. And even though they said nothing, that was their interview.
She looked confident.
She looked confident, right, great.
She was smiling.
Smiling, yeah, it's great, positive.
She had an eye contact.
Okay, with you?
Everybody.
Okay, did everyone get eye contact?
Yeah.
Wow, that's very good. Anything else?
She was quite relaxed.
Relaxed?
Yeah.
These are very positive, you know that. I'm going to tell you a story she was telling. She's doing it now. What does that say?
Yeah.
I think you're being very polite. Yes, you're relaxed. Yes, you're confident. Absolutely. But there's something on a subconscious level that they're not telling you, which I picked up on. You're apologizing. The confidence is great. You walked on with purpose. You knew where you were going. You had three different levels of 5 seconds. That's important. Because when you stood, it wasn't for long. You sat for quite a while, but you left pretty quickly again. This crossing of the body, which everyone but you did. Anything that covers or literally crosses, some people would call it energy level, energy stream. It tells a story. What story does it tell?
That you have lost for us.
That's an analytical way of thinking about it, but how did it make you feel? How does that make you feel?
Like he's hiding something. He's not showing the true person or is.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Something that she thinks I might want to see, or I don't know.
So, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I do want you to start engaging with your feelings. Okay? It's good to notice that, like I talked about with the person at the party, who no one really gets on with because they're so tense and angry and drunk. When people are relaxed, they're easier to be around. A very good actor once told me, Darren, if your bum is tight on stage, then your audience's bum is tight in the seats. People feel a bit awkward. And I'm not saying you're bringing awkwardness because you were relaxed. That's great. But when I offered you that neutral stance, you are saying, here I am. I'm ready. I'm open. I'm ready. Because sometimes that story says, I don't want to be here. Maybe there's something. That's another story. That's just the same. That's like, I want to get out of here. And that one's like, it's a bit apologetic. No, there's no right or wrong, you know? I'm not attacking you. I'm just saying that people are being nice. If this was an acting class, fuck me, man. it'd be very different. But the point is that people do read you subconsciously. We do it. We don't know it because it's subconscious. Everything that's ever happened to you before in your entire life has made you who you are, okay? And you can't help it because some of the things that you learned wrong. Your body remembered them badly, poorly. Everyone stereotypes everyone. You can't help it because you don't know it happens. Once you know it happens, you become more conscious of it through however you do that, conscious effort or meditation. You can learn to see patterns within yourself. All I'm saying is it might be a nice idea, to bring you, when you bring yourself into the room with that same energy, that same confidence, just show, don't physically block yourself off because that, on a visceral level, says something else, I believe. It's just worth considering. That's all. I'd offer that up. Thank you. Let's move on to contestant number two. What's your name and where did you come from?
I'm Eunice.
Yes? Great. And you like storytelling?
Yes.
Great. What story did she tell when she came on? Close your eyes, because you might look at her now, and I don't want to change that.
She's a little bit nervous.
Okay, you saw nerves. Yeah.
She looked shy when she was walking.
Shy. And what did she do that made her look shy as she was walking?
Like with the shoulders in the front. Like, okay. Don't walk straight, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, that could be a postural thing from work, you know, over time. Which can cause that. And actually, the biggest thing that I find with people who have sedentary lifestyles is that their shoulders roll forward, and that kind of affects other things, everywhere else, and neck and whatnot.
And I have a back injury.
Well, okay, right. Have you been able to do anything about that? Was it quite severe, or? Because you look right to me.
I have a bit of imbalance.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Nothing they can do.
Okay, so again, slightly different to yours, but the same thing. There was a bit of an apology. I think there was a bit of a, I'm uncomfortable. You didn't necessarily show that you were comfortable. These are your friends. You know, this is our group today. We're not really judging you, and actually everyone is being nice. But there was a rush to get off, I felt. Like, you did it, you're like, I'm here, I'm doing it. And then you're like, I'm fucking out of here. Do you know what I mean? Imagine, though, if you took yourself into a space where you are meeting a manager or a team member or someone or an investor for your business, and you went and just said your shit and walked off. Well, they think, oh, yeah, I'll invest in there, her. Yeah, that's the person for me. Here's millions. Now, I think sometimes being present, as we've gone through today, being in the moment is about being comfortable to just stand. You don't have to speak if you've got slides. But it's worth adopting. That breathing technique is worth doing here, now. Try it. Like, try standing, but move your arms down to your side. And try that breathing technique as you're standing. See if it makes you feel any different. You know? Breath comes in. Breath comes out. Now your hand's telling a story. You want to put it somewhere. If you want to put it somewhere, put it into your foot. If you feel it awkward or uncomfortable and it's not working for you, push your left foot into the floor as hard as you can. Do it. Try it. Put all your kind of worry in that. A, it makes you look stronger because you're very grounded, you're grounding yourself. If you do this breathing technique and relax your belly, you look stronger. So you're going back to your fingers, push it into your foot. I'm not trying to put blocks on you. I'm trying to release blocks, if anything. But I think it's just tools you can use. If ever you're in that environment, okay? Just try and remember, you know, I'll try and do a little session at the end of this so you can embody it and remember it. Hey, what was your name?
Momoko.
Momoko. Okay, where are you from?
Japan.
Okay, wow. I'm not very worldly, unfortunately. Well, I'm saying I'm from London, so I am. You're the only person that didn't actually cover themselves when you sat down. You actually had your arms open, I noticed. But it wasn't crossed.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Everyone else at some point did that. Yours was actually open. How did you feel?
Comfortable.
You feel comfortable, yeah. I think you were humble. Mm. You didn't tell too much. You were keeping it to yourself. Yeah, but it wasn't arrogant either. It wasn't like, I don't give a fuck about you. It was not worried in a different kind of context. Yeah, I think I might have been the most neutral one, but there was still something posturally that I don't want to really talk about myself. Anyone else notice anything first?
A bit emotionless.
Okay, how did you feel? Emotionless?
I didn't think anything.
That's great, but that's a great starting place. That's a great point to begin with, because you're not nervous. You're just like, okay, this is who I am. Here I am. Here's me going. That's you don't have to do anything else because you're human and these people are human. And human is enough. That's all you have to bring is yourself. But once you bring kind of worry and past ideas and kind of people read that. But that was nice. There was a bit of a hesitation.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I think that was the analytical mind. You're just thinking, should I do this? Is that right? Is that 5 seconds? You're just like, oh, yeah, I'll go now. You did it, but you weren't necessarily embodying it. So you could actually take your time. Are you counting? Okay. Consistent. Well, stand, sit, stand, walk.
Oh, there's a third 5 second stand.
Don't worry. Here's the thing. There's Thank you, Mama. All right, Mister. Step forward, please.
Yes, Jason.
No, Darren. But what's your name?
Jason.
Oh, right. Okay.
I don't know.
Everyone, feel free to attack this man.
Yes, please.
He's clearly got a sense of humor.
Yes.
Yes, please. Yeah, yeah. Anything?
I think he's quite, you see, what you see is what you get. Yep. Quite genuine, maybe different from me and how I operate. But
yeah.
I think what you see is what you get. And from that, I sort of get some level of a genuine sort of guy.
Okay. That's interesting. I kind of get that as a guy having been around, as a guy I've been around fellas that wear the cap back to front, wear baggy jeans. I used to be a skater, so you know, I can see he's a guy, more like a beer in the weekend, starting a company in Helsinki, as you do. What I'm saying is there was and I think like you trusted him because he's someone that you can relate to maybe or have come across in the past yourself. There's no right or wrong. It's completely valid. Yes. Comfortable in his own skin.
Yeah,
that's, yes. Definitely. But.
What's the subconscious?
Huh? He closed his eyes. Yeah.
I did on purpose. I was breathing.
You made a choice. You made a choice.
Because it was the same bullshit everywhere else, so I said, I'll just do this and breathe and leave.
Right, it's not necessarily bullshit.
I did on purpose.
That's all right. Look, there is no right or wrong. It's just your honest reaction and how you honestly felt. And now you've adopted this stance. When you came on, you made a choice. It was great. It's brave because you actually decided to do something. And that's fine. There's no right or wrong. But what the route you chose to take was comedy. You wanted to make people laugh, and you did. That's great. However, before this but comes out, I'm terribly defensive myself sometimes. I can see it in everyone. Is that hiding something too?
Well, it's all a show, man. The whole existence is a show. What I'm wearing, what you're doing, it's all a scam.
It's a scam?
You're hiding your true self. I mean, that's what we all do.
Well, I'm choosing my attitude, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm different.
This meeting, I'd be in a suit of this. You know, I'd be completely different, but I'm not, so.
I always wear my kimono to the business meetings. Yeah. Throws them off. Okay, I know exactly what you mean. But what I'm saying is, it tells a story, and the story you were telling is not necessarily what you chose to tell. Because you actively wanted to do something, because you felt a bit uncomfortable, I feel. So you wanted to show something, and then you came off. It was fine. Like, again, I feel that you're kind of a cool guy to be around. I feel quite relaxed in your presence. But there's a bit of defensiveness in that comedy. There's something that you're kind of fighting, not really in yourself, but somewhere. And sometimes comedy in that environment can be read as something else.
Right.
Okay. I'm just offering that as an idea.
No, I know.
Not picking on you. But does anyone else feel anything different to what I've said, or anyone else? Bang on then. That's good, right? Hi, Dilly.
Billy.
Yes, Dilly.
I think it's a strong, powerful sunlight.
Boom. You're very comfortable in your body. Do you do yoga?
Sometimes.
Or any movement stuff? Okay.
Sometimes.
Well, there's a certain sort of flexibility. Which allows space for you to kind of play. It kind of allows you to be neutral easier than other people who have got tensions or injuries that have built up over time. So because you've kept yourself limber, it's easier for you to just hold yourself there, physically.
Yeah.
Not necessarily mentally, but one does affect the other quite well. What did everyone else think about Dilly as she came on? Or feel? Okay. Right. There was a certain determination, you feel? And purpose. Yeah, because they, in a way, they all kind of made a choice. Yours was a bit more direct. Even though you were the only person who didn't cross your arms, I actually think that Dilly's was the strongest introduction to, of herself. Because of that, she didn't mess with anything. She didn't add anything, take anything away. And because you're comfortable in your own body, physically, I felt that it was easy to watch you. Now, if we were casting directors for a Hollywood film,
okay.
Right? And the reason this is why I'm going over this is because I've been a professional actor for 12 years, an actor for 20, and a singer for 28. Who do you think I get cast as in films?
It depends what film, horror film, fantasy film.
Well, look, if you put me in any genre, I'd probably end up in the same genre more often.
Common.
Common. Great, okay, yeah. Anyone else? Have a go. If I was in a movie, who would I be playing?
Bad guy.
Right? And what makes you say that?
General stereotyping with people with no hair and from Ireland.
Yeah. And tattoos. Absolute. No, no. See, here's the thing. Everyone's been worried about saying what they honestly feel. And that's why I thought I'd bring it back to me. Because that's exactly the casting I get. If it's not murderer, it's army officer, or policeman, but dodgy policeman, not the nice guy, or wife beater, or someone nasty. I always get the nasty roles. And that doesn't necessarily make me a nasty person. It just means that society and the media and the world over the years has put someone who looks like me, talks like me, into a certain box that says, can't be trusted, bad. And actually, the more that this stereotype is produced and kept alive, the more it's believed. And this is why I wanted to do this exercise, is because we all bring a story. I was doing a pitching competition a couple of years ago at Microsoft Flux, and one of the judges said to me, I scared her. I was giving a similar kind of workshop to this. And I get it. I absolutely get it, because my natural demeanor is kind of hard. I'm from London, I've got quite a harsh accent. But I had to explain to her that I've just been talking about stereotypes and body language, and you told me that I scared you. I had no intention or action towards scaring her. She was scared of me because of a preconception that she had. Now, everyone has these preconceptions, whether you like it or not, including you. And although you're being very polite, I have to say, most polite audience I've ever had, or auditioners, it's worth recognizing that initial thought or spark that you really had that you may or may not have said, is worth looking at, just checking in on. I'm not accusing you of anything, because we're all people. We're all here because we want to upgrade ourselves, aren't we? We're here because we want to do better or meet new people and network. And so I'm just offering you opportunities to recognize how you may perceive other people unknowingly. So the next time you do have a prejudgment about someone, maybe just step back and say, am I kind of judging them wrongly? But also notice that if people treat you a certain way, it might be because of their own unconscious learnings. And this could be useful when you take yourself into a room in front of people you don't know, like an employee or a team member or an investor. Because if you just bring yourself naturally, neutrally, and breathe in the moment, I mean, the rest is out of your hands, essentially. But if you tell too much of a story, they'll add two and two together and make an even bigger story up about you, and that's not going to help your situation. So these are just tools that you can use and things to consider to take away that whenever you're in an environment where you have to be in front of someone or be your best, the very first thing that people will do is make a subconscious decision about you the second you walk in the room. So here's a little trick that we can all use. Whenever you walk into a room for the first time, breathe in. Stop breathing when you get there, breathe out. breathe them in, and then speak. There's something about it. When you're feeding your body those nutrients as you're walking in, you actually look stronger to a human. We don't know how. There is science behind this, but we have not got the time to go through it. And the levels of attention we did before, you can use to help choose your attitude. If you feel like you might be someone who walks around really relaxed and kind of like that, then if you're going into an environment where you think that's not useful for you, you could just add a little bit more tension into your body. Like that. It's easy to do. So again, these are just tools, things you can use. I wanted to go over, guys, if you want to sit down or whatever, go over the idea of fear and our perception of fear, if anyone's interested. Does anyone ever get fearful in social environments?
He was just saying that it's a show, right?
Yeah.
Ask
him. Like, I'm going to get some water. Yeah, there are some old school ideas, though, that that could let you down in some areas because people haven't yet, you know.
But there is agency, and there is, yeah. You have power. Mm-hmm.
There's also a level of skepticism in men actually believing that there are genuine encounters that you can experience as well. Whether you come from a very defensive perspective, that this is just how I'm supposed to act, or whether you were just perceptive of, I can be the person that I am.
And body, which I'll come back to, because the mind, actually the conscious mind, is not really in charge. It's when it was in the first, between the age of 2 and 8, it might have been in charge. And then when you recreate habits in your life, it comes into charge again. When you have to kind of work something out, it's in charge. But generally, what's actually keeping you functioning is the rest of your body. Sorry.
That's the true part. Like, when you do this walk out, like, maybe you do have a plan, but the subconscious takes over. So if you cross your arms, you've been doing that for 30 years, you know?
And yeah.
When I walked out, something in my head just kicked.
Absolutely. It wasn't yeah. Me. Here's what I'm saying. There is no right and wrong. I'm just giving you options. It's giving you ways that you can recognize it. And, of course, I just said that because that's what I've noticed myself. It doesn't mean you have to change anything. But at least now you have the option. If you want it to change the way you're perceived, you can just change the tension in your body, change the way you breathe, hold the way you stand in a different way. And now you've got a few variations on that that if you chose to, you could bring into the room when you do. So let's go back to the idea of fear. Because being nervous is very common. It's everyone gets fearful about situations, especially new situations, especially when we need something from the other person in the situation. So most people here are looking for jobs. But none of you are really that young that you haven't had a job in the past. Am I right? Did you have to go for an interview for that job?
Yeah.
Okay. How did it go? How was it? You got the job because obviously it was a job you had. Yeah. Now, this is quite an international group, and we're in Finland. Now, for those that don't yet speak Finnish, I imagine that the opportunities for work is a little bit lower than those who do. Is anyone here from Finland? All right. That's good, because now they can't tell us off. I've been in Finland for 4 years, and I don't I've had a couple of jobs, but they were literally through friends, so I've been quite lucky in that respect. And the most of my work is as a voiceover artist, as well as a voice coach, and some singing and acting here and there. But auditions are like an interview, but times 10, because literally how you are in the room is so important. It's everything. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past, it's what you bring in that day. So if you're not present, if you're not listening, if you're not engaging, if you haven't got a voice, if you can't move, then thank you, next. It's really harsh in that world. So for job interviews, it's usually more relaxed. The first thing you need to remember, though, is the person that got you in that room got you in that room, because they want you in that room. And they want you in that room not to fuck with you. They got you in there because they want someone who can solve their problem. And by your CV and the things that got you in that room is probably because on your CV it can solve their problem. So why don't you get the job then? What do you think might let you down? Has anyone gone for interviews already and not been successful? Or, yeah? What happened?
There were two rounds, but both of them happened virtually.
Okay.
So there was also an assessment round where I had to prepare a presentation and do the presentation to them. And after that, it was finally a person who needs to acknowledge, I guess, the top boss.
Okay.
Probably he felt I didn't have the practical exposure and experience.
Okay.
We were looking at somebody who had that practical exposure earlier.
That's slightly different, isn't it? And especially as it was a virtual, it's very difficult when you're not actually in the room with someone to gauge. There must have been something they wanted, otherwise you wouldn't have got to the second round, I guess. So, you know, I wouldn't beat yourself up about it. It could literally just be they had one skill better. Or they did have the language. But you have a business, right?
Yeah, well...
You're starting.
I had a business for years in Hong Kong, and I hired people.
Yeah.
It's very important. How you fit with the team, will you get along with the staff, will you get along with me.
Yeah.
So you are right. Like, your body language and how you behavior is a very important part.
Yeah.
In the interview.
Yeah, I think it's easier when you're in the position of being the employer as well, because... You want the person to do well, don't you? Is anyone else here a boss? Yeah? And have you interviewed many people for your company?
Yeah, I've been interviewed last 2 months.
Okay.
Interestingly, I think I was telling somebody here, they came back to tell me that I'm overqualified and they think I'll be bored in the work.
Okay, wow. Sounds like okay, so you're not actually, you weren't interviewing them, they interviewed you.
I was interviewing for a job.
Okay, right, fair enough. Overqualified doesn't sound like a bad starting point though, does it? You know, you can underplay that. Oh no, it's nothing. Take a few things off your CV next time.
But it was like two companies in succession, it makes no sense.
So, who's been for a job interview and they feel that fear's let them down? Or their nerves have made them say or act irrationally? I have, absolutely. Everyone else is cool as cucumbers. Yeah, you know, don't need a job. Well, you know, it's not for everyone. Not everyone does it. But often people do have a fear. So we've looked at body language and what we can actually physically bring in. But sometimes our sense and sensibilities can be overridden by nerves. And we talked about tension as well, and we've looked at ways that we can reduce tension. But just know that anxiety about being in a room with someone, about being, even if it's employing or going for a job, that fear is exactly the same as being on a roller coaster. That makes sense? So here's you on a roller coaster. This is you going for a job interview. And you're waiting outside in the waiting room, and the roller coaster starts going up. Now, next to you is the other you. Now, this you doesn't have any fear. They're completely in control. They've been doing my breathing exercise. They're standing in neutral. They're feeling actually quite comfortable. They've already got the CV. They've already got in the room. They understand that. But they're also on the roller coaster. Now, you hate roller coasters. You just don't like it. You don't want to have to go in the roller coaster. You want to get to the end of the ride because that's the bit you want. Get the candy floss afterwards. But it goes up and it gets to the top. Your heart rate's going up. You're feeling nervous. You don't like this at all. This is bad. And then the roller coaster drops. And it goes round and it goes faster and it goes loop in the loops and it does all these crazy things. And there's wacky lights and rave music blurting out of the speakers and you're going deaf and you're screaming, ah, I don't like it. And you're holding on tight and you're closing off and you are tense. You feel sick. The adrenaline is going through your body and it's making you want to just throw up. It's uncomfortable. You don't like this experience. And notice how the tension's all there, white knuckles. But the other you doesn't know what's wrong. They don't know what your problem is. They're having a great time. They're relaxed. They're, yay, go faster. And as it's going round and up and down, they're, this is brilliant. And they're getting all endorphins going through their bodies. They love it. And they just don't know why you're so tense. It's the same thing. It's the same ride. It's the same feelings. The only difference is our perception of those feelings. So, I just want you to consider that for a second, which is why I paused dramatically. If you're taking yourself into a space where you need something from someone, it's sometimes very hard. Because it could, you know, you're paying your rent relies on it, eating relies on it. Maybe you've got children and they rely on it. In fact, the higher the stakes, the harder it generally is, even if you've got the CV, even if you've got the skills. But I'm going to come back again to the breath. If you can focus on your breath, you will reduce half of that fear and half of that tension in a second. That breathing exercise we did at the beginning, making the balloon bigger, making the balloon bigger. A, will help focus you and be present in the moment. It will help you look the person in the eye and listen. We did a concentration and a presence exercise. It's not, you're not going into a room to talk to people as I am now. Quite often, and I've been on both sides of the interviewing fence as well. And quite often, when you feel relaxed around someone, you're more likely to get them on your team. And usually that happens not because, it kind of goes back to what you said, it's because you feel they get on with them. But it's not a popularity contest. As long as you're comfortable in your own skin and you at least appear that way, you'll have a fair chance, a much better chance of not giving the story of tension and making them feel awkward, or not giving this story of I don't give a fuck, or I'm really scared, because it comes across as an apology, and people aren't there to help you. You don't go to get work, you go to give your service. And so once you stop thinking about how fearful it is for yourself to be there, and you just offer something, you go in there to any interview with a plan. And this plan is going to be a verb, an action. So no matter what you say, you're going to stick to that action. I'm here to show love. Everything you do, just put that behind the words you use. Or I'm here to, well, it depends on what kind of job you're going for, but I'm here to flirt. But you can choose your attitude and put a verb, an action behind anything you say and do. You might be there to mesmerize, entertain. I think we might go through some of that next time though. Here's the thing. So you can say something with your body and not mean it. You can say something with your voice and not mean it. Yeah. Is there anything anyone wants to do particularly? Or learn about or talk about? Or address in front of everyone?
I want to talk about fear. What the things that you were saying. So what if you have like an inner fear? Like I've always been scared of dogs.
Aha, yeah, that's slightly different.
So it's just like an interview. You know, you've always been scared of dogs, and I know that it won't do anything, and when you come in front of it, I breathe and I think, okay, this is not going to do it. But my whole body tenses up and I'm like, you know, frozen.
Yeah. So was there a time when a dog attacked you? Or yes, someone?
Yes, when I was very small.
Okay, yeah, so between the ages of 2 and 8?
Yes.
Right, that's why. So in that time, what happens is, in the formative years, when our brains start wiring differently at 2 to the age of 10, when our brainwave activity starts speeding up a bit, our brainwave activity is very slow because we're absorbing the world, we're creating role models from around us, and if we see something or see someone else doing something, we're likely to learn that and how to react from that because we think that's the way the world works. And you know consciously that it's not helping you, that fear, is it? It's not real. I mean, this is not the same dog. It's not the same time. You're bigger now. The dog's probably more likely, the same one, to be scared of you now because you're bigger. Whenever I've come across fears which make no sense to me, I've gone to see a hypnotherapist. And part of my journey of becoming a voice and performance coach, I trained as a hypnotherapist as well. So I could help people with similar issues to that. It's quite common. I had a fear of dogs. I had a fear of Satan for years because my mum was a Jehovah's Witness. And I couldn't rationalize it because I don't believe in God in the same respect. I have my own beliefs. But I had this irrational fear of Satan, that he was looking at me. And it was put on me as a young child from the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so I went to my man and said, hey, you've got to get rid of this. And he did. It's just, he changed my perspective of it, which is what hypnotherapy does. Basically, it takes what you've learned, what your body's learned, your subconscious mind has learned, and it lets you look at it in a different light. And once you do that, you can actually flip the switch on how you feel about it. Because once your perspective towards something's different, how you experience it is different. And that's why I give the analogy of the roller coaster. Because it's the same feelings, the same incident, the same thing happening. It's just your perception. So the quickest way to change your perceptions is by, there's different affirmations and these things that have been around for ages, but no one really knows how to get them right for themselves. That's why I've personally used hypnotherapy. People can go to counseling for 2 years and get the same thing. But there's avenues that you could look at, honestly.
NLP?
Yeah, that's another great thing, yeah. And tapping, and there's different... Yeah, there's lots of different things out there. NLP and actually hypnotherapy use some of the same ideas. It can. Probably that thought, that emotion, that fear is locked somewhere in your body. And you might one day accidentally unlock it by doing a movement like that. Oh, I'm no longer frightened of dogs. And you won't know why, because it's stored somewhere. Any other questions?
In a certain company, when you're interviewing, if you have a very confident or somebody who shows so much confidence, then you throw a curveball question.
Yeah.
For example, if you're interviewing a developer, and then the next question is like, what you do if you open your fridge in the morning and found a penguin? And I kind of noticed that the, like 99% of people freak out completely once that question is asked.
Mm.
Although there's no right or wrong answer. And I personally, I've never been asked, but I mean, how do you deal with that? It's impossible not to be asked.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you know what you know, if you have all this knowledge about what you bring into the room, and you are present, like the things we did with the breathing and being neutral and actually actively listen, if someone throws you a curveball, you're able to deal with it. You'll catch it and you'll throw it back. You'll just be in the moment because you'll be listening and you'll understand that it's something's wrong. What's wrong with asking someone, why did you ask me that? How's that relevant?
I've never been asked that.
Okay, but I had a friend who actually was a director, and when he wasn't directing, one of his jobs was to work for businesses and ask shitty curveball questions. They'd employ him because then they wouldn't be liable for the way he treated them. Horrible thing, but it still happens. So he'd sit there and say, why did you wear those shoes today? Although, what, did you not think of brushing your hair before you came to the interview? They're literally testing horrible things just to see how they'd react. Because that showed them if they were able to have A, sense of humor, I guess, B, take it too seriously or not. They were looking for people who could react to curveballs. Expect it always. It's unfortunate. If someone threw me a curveball like that, I wouldn't want to work for them. I'd just say, no, that's not very nice.
That's why they ask those questions.
Yeah, exactly. Because they want sheep. They want people who are going to do as they say, and they're looking for a specific response. So if anyone throws you a curveball, go back and look at the company and decide whether you want to work for them or not.
These are big companies.
Oh, of course, it's the biggest ones that do it. Yeah. And startups are cool. Yeah. But, you know, it takes a while to get paid.
Yeah, my question kind of relates to what you were just saying, that approaching this, like the job interviews, as such as a relationship, kind of, you know, a dating exercise in a way. You know, I mean, if you want a long-term relationship, you don't want to hide or pretend to be someone else anyways, but you also want to make sure that it's a fit. And it's not just the company that wants you, or you want the company, it's a reciprocal relationship.
Yeah, so you could...
And I think a lot of people forget that, and I understand that there's the economic pressure and all the rest of it, but...
Yeah. Yeah, there's a fine balance as well, isn't there? Because you are interviewing them.
Yeah, at the same time. Yeah.
But be careful not to go in there and say, right, how much are you going to pay me? When do I start? Oh, can I start later? I don't get up until 10.
You can easily get questions out, like, you know, okay, so how often do you, or the turnover, why is it so fast? Like, why are people leaving? What was the last time, you know, the crisis or whatever, you know, how did you deal with the last crisis when it came to employees? And you have to get to know the organization at the same time so that you can build the relationship.
That's really good, like, insight. Has anyone else got anything they can share that with everyone else that could be useful?
Yeah. So I just want to share, just say that if I wish that I would know it, about your workshop today earlier. So because I used to work in a very very intense and very busy F&B industry, so. Every day is a very tight day, and there's always confliction inside the work. So because of that, there was so much intense, and then one day after confliction with the co-worker, he got a fail, and then like a blood exposed in the head. I went to the hospital at that time, and my eyes can see, I cannot read.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, I have to stay in the hospital for a few months. The doctor says, like, it's a good chance that you're still alive because it's just like where it's similar, like you get hit by a car, the chance to die is similar. Like
oh my goodness.
And I have to stay in the hospital lying down 6 months or something.
6 months?
I cannot move. Yeah, I cannot move and at all. I cannot see. I cannot move. And then time by time, I started to raise a little bit. And from that, I learned the exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a few minutes left. Why don't we stand in a circle and do that just a little bit just to finish off? Because it's a nice thing to do. And it's really healthy. This is like, when I say something's healthy, it often means it tastes terrible. But this is quite satisfying. So don't keep your knees locked. Try and...
This is very relaxing.
But I'd like to just repeat what you said. So this man was in a hospital for 6 months, unable to see or move. And one of the exercises his doctor gave him was this. Wow.
Yeah. I do it every time, like even when I'm reaching the news in the television, when I start to possible to see, then I'm reading the newspaper and doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, a whole day. And starting to moving step by step.
Wow.
And one thing I learned, that's like the positive feeling. Like I feel I see like, okay, I get into the bottom already.
Yeah.
So I cannot be.
You can't go any further. Yeah.
So just keep going on, moving up, and enjoying every single moment.
Wow. That
I have.
That's a great story. Yeah. Well done. And how long ago was that?
Sorry?
How long ago was that?
In the hospital, you mean?
Yeah, when were you there?
More than years ago. Almost 2 years ago.
So it's fairly recent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has anyone else got anything they'd like to share?
I once had a job as manager, and then I started interviewing people. And then one thing I realized, some people has so many things to tell, but they could not really tell that in the interview board because they were nervous.
Yeah.
So I started, decided that I should go deeper with people, like let them be free with myself and see everything they can do and split the interview round in 2 to 3 phases. And then I started bringing out people who couldn't tell, but really can do things. But that was a failed process.
Okay.
Because ultimately people who can really excel in the interview board were the ones who were proactive, who can really take decisions, and we were brave. And
okay.
That's why I think things like excelling in the interview board with the full confidence is really necessary. And
okay.
Sometimes HR managers can put people in difficult situations, and that is okay.
Yeah. I think it shows how willing you are as well.
Yeah.
But it's a reflection of how you feel, too. If you really don't want a job and you go for it because you need the money, that's going to show.
Also, in Finland, I have had quite a few hiring managers or CEOs, actually, who take you out for a lunch, and that's the interview. And it's not what you say that matters, it's how you treat the waitress or the waiter that matters.
Okay. Yeah. There's some table manners there.
But how you relate to people who are not necessarily the same level in occupation.
Yeah. Don't wear a white shirt and get the bolognese. Yeah. That sounds, that's cool, isn't it? Some good meetings I've been to have been the same. Just meeting people over food.
Yeah.
Somehow it kind of breaks the barrier. Are you going to say something? Oh, just breathing. That's good.
Yeah, I also guess it really depends on the employer. If someone is very formal about it and invites you that, okay, we will meet at 4 p.m. sharp, you're going to stress that, okay, this interview, this is the moment, I have everything I have, and into it.
Yeah.
But then if some company just sends you like, hey, Barbara, come on Wednesday for chat, it's 4 p.m., okay, for you. Then you feel like, okay, I'm just going to talk there and meet them. So I think that really makes a difference also how the company approaches it.
Yeah. Yeah, because some people are different. people work different ways.
I think also it matters who is interviewing you. For example, if a Finn is interviewing me, I'm more relaxed. If a German is interviewing me, I'm a little more worried out of experience. They are more, on the technical field, they are more like.
It's the Germans.
Yeah, you have to be dressed sharp and.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a variation of both but, in your experience, I guess.
Yeah, especially in the technical field, it really varies on the perception of the other person and their culture as well.
Yeah.
Because Finns are more, the startups are more free, you know, you can wear a hoodie, go for an interview, and for an interview at Airbus. My interview was German, very questions like direct.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad, it was just I didn't expect it.
Yeah, fair enough. But I guess then if you're bringing yourself neutral, relaxed, you don't have to worry about other people.
I like to tell stories, so sometimes I guess we need to come.
Yeah. Okay, you're right, yeah. It's reading the room, isn't it? And again, about being present, you'll know whether it's right or not. You'll have more scope for that. What time is it? I don't know.
5 to 3.
Now, I can't quite remember which workshop we we were supposed to do today, but I've mixed it up a little bit. If anyone's here on Thursday, we're going to do some more, some different stuff. And then again, next Tuesday, we're going to do some extra bits and pieces. We might do one or two things similarly if you're coming back, but I'll try and change the workshop so it's completely different. So we'll cover something else and more kind of tools. And maybe if you're the same people coming back, you've already built up a little bit of a, you know, bit of a bond. So if you feel comfortable being in the workshop, come again on Thursday or next Tuesday, and we'll try and continue from where we are. And we can do more, you know, sharing stories as well, because actually part of storytelling is also going to help us in our careers, whatever we do, if you're comfortable with that. Because I'd like to get us start speaking, and I would like to get us to learn some exercises for our posture, to help with our posture. I'd like to look at ways that we can articulate ourselves clearer and actually project and have more resonance in our voice. So we just bring a fuller, more rounded person into the room. So we've looked at the body, you know, and it's a bit superficial, but it all comes from within. And next time we're going to start maybe looking at introducing sound and doing some talking. And we might even set up some mock interviews. I don't know. Maybe we'll leave that to next week. We'll see how it goes. I don't want to scare you off. But anyway, I'm Darren McStay. My company is Polymath House, which is a new company here. But my main brand is Improve Your Voice. I've got a YouTube channel. It's got loads of free lessons on there. If you want to learn anything about the voice or improving, you know, resonance, articulation, confidence, then I'm sure there's something on there that you could use. So take it. It's there.